In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Chase Notes Podcast, the Monday, June 5th, 2023 edition here on the program. We got sports reporters who have indeed reassembled. It's a two-parter today, so right after this, I'll have Preds Power Hour also up here on this very feed. So it's a double feature here today on CTPN, the Chase Notes Podcast Network. So a lot of fun content for you guys here on this fine Monday, following the Tennessee Volunteers making it through the regional round in Clemson in much easier, less stressful fashion last night, I should say, because Saturday night was a lot. And to have a nice, calming, just soothing way of going about victory last night over Charlotte was very much welcomed. So excited to see if Vols are hosting this weekend at Lindsey Nelson. We'll see, I guess, after today, or if Penn does it or Southern Miss does it and the other bracket. Excited to see what happens there, because I thought baseball was over here in Knoxville this year in terms of playing in front of the home crowd here and having another opportunity to go see the Vols up close and in person, but that may not be the case. We may get them back this weekend, and that's a good time. So look out for just an all-time great Everything School rant this week on The Full Ride with Matt Green, so the college football show here on this very feed. But that is not happening just yet. I gotta fine tune it just a little bit for that Wednesday show. Folks, on this edition though, we got sports reporters who have indeed reassembled. We've got the Daily Beast Robert Silverman and AL.com's Andrew Hammond to talk about Bob's experience watching Air in the last week. We talked about the best NBA coaching hires this offseason. Is it Monty Williams and the Detroit Pistons? We talked about that. Adrian Griffin and why he's walking into a potentially interesting, complicated situation in Milwaukee with the Bucks and Giannis, and what his future's like, and where they're just kind of in a weird spot at the moment. So the Bucks, a lot of questions going into 2023-2024. For them, we talk about Tom Brady. Are we sure he is done, or could he play quarterback for the Raiders this year? All that and more next here with Bob and Andrew on the sports reporters who have indeed reassembled. So don't forget, folks, if you are a first-time listener and you have not listened to the show before, first, welcome. Thank you for checking out the program. This is a daily national sports show located out here in Knoxville, Tennessee. I would greatly appreciate it if you like today's show, you hit that subscribe button so you never miss a future episode, daily content each and every day here on the program. So just hit that subscribe button on your preferred podcast player. You can also help the show if you're already a subscriber, and welcome back. If you would, please hit that pause button right now and leave this show a 5-star rating and a review. Tell other folks why they should check out the podcast, why you like it, this, that, and the other. that would be great. Helps other people find the show, and it helps this very show continue to grow. So if you could take care of that today, I would greatly appreciate it. As always, you can also watch this show. We're on YouTube as we march ever so close to the 1,000 subscriber mark on our YouTube channel, Chase Thomas Podcast. So make sure you like and subscribe there, youtube.com/Chase Thomas Podcast. All right, Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, you heard it. Sports reporters, we have indeed reassembled here on this fine Sunday morning. I barely have a voice. I was worried last night that I was not going to have one at all because Tennessee played an almost five-hour baseball game in their regional to put them in the driver's seat to host the Super Regional next weekend, because a team that Andrew covers got knocked out in their first two games, the Auburn Tigers. So in that side of the bracket, makes the Tennessee Volunteers hosting a very real possibility, and all I have to do is win one of three potentially today and tomorrow. So it was one of the craziest college baseball games I've ever seen in my life. It was one of the best baseball games in general I've ever seen. And when I say, my wife's got some hilarious videos of me reacting to certain moments. It's it was so overwhelming. But when you have those all-time great sports moments, you're just like, this is why we watch this. I could do a whole ad on like, this is why we watch, because the ups and the downs, like Bob, there was a bases loaded, no out situation, and all they had to do was score a run. Clemson did. To get out of a bases loaded, just one run ends the game type deal, and I guess it was the 10th or 11th with Chase Burns. Like, it was just, the group chat was exploding. I'm like, we can't believe this is how we're going to lose. Like, why is Tony leaving Chase Burns in right now? And the dude just, he gets out of this jam. Their last strike, Bob, last strike here, Zane Denton blasts like a 400 feet just juggernaut into the hearts of the Clemson faithful and puts them up 5-4. And I thought it was over. Huh?
I thought it was over.
I thought it was done. And then Clemson battles back, and then their best player gets tossed for jawing. And it was like everything's coming full circle because Tennessee lost their best player in the middle of the Super Regionals against Notre Dame last year, and Drew Gilbert, for arguing back and forth, or just really saying the F word under his breath at a bad strike call. And then you
have to get the F word.
Yeah, it was.
You get tossed in college baseball for the F word.
Depends on the umpire.
College umps are notoriously terrible. Sorry to interrupt, Chase. Yeah. But college umps are, hey, I may not make it to the majors, and I'm bitter about it. That's basically college umpires.
You get a lot of we're going to make this about us.
With a Miss Manners handbook.
Yeah.
Just, there's no cussing in this house, kids.
Well, it's just that there's no emotion. Like, I will say this. College baseball players are a bit, like, on the overly emotional side.
They're 18 to 22-year-old kids.
But there's this fake tough persona that college basketball and college football players get. It's, like, a weird and hilarious just, like, posturing that college baseball players do, and I've seen it more and more this regional. So and I'll talk about my pick of the week later, but it is just hilarious how intense college baseball players get at just some of the most random times. You're just like, hey son, hey, you're up here, gonna need you down here, okay? Okay, because a little too much for me.
It's just, I love the tournament.
Quiet,
it's just so
coyote
good.
Time. Quiet, yeah. Coyote. When just go up, the mouth goes shut.
Quiet. I've never heard quiet coyote. Was that something y'all got in school growing up? Or was that a household? Was that a Silverman household thing, or was that a school thing?
No, that was. I forget which school that was employed in, but some school used it. And when I was teaching kids, in a theater program at a high school in Brooklyn, and I brought back Quiet Coyote. Kids, Quiet Coyote. When the ears go up, the mouth goes shut. It works.
That's awesome. I think ours was college when the hand goes up, the mouth goes shut. I don't know if you got that, Andrew. I think it was when the hand's up, your mouth goes shut.
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, that guy up there in New York City, Bob Silverman, joins us of thedailybeast.com. Bob, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Yes.
No follow up. Bob's just point.
I was that was it was a there was a that was a there's a subtle Nancy Pelosi reference which you said. Good morning. Sunday morning.
Because
I really hate that I know what I've been in the news entirely too long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're all very online. And that voice you hear down there in Birmingham, Alabama. Birmingham, right? You're in Birmingham. Yeah, there you go. Andrew Hammond of AL.com. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Tired.
Is it because you stayed up watching Tennessee Clemson last night?
It was that, but it was when you have two teams from the state of Alabama, Alabama and Auburn, playing in regionals, and you have the squeeze play program, which I cannot say enough about. It is maybe the best, one of the best things ESPN does every year. And I am just, I need Red Bull. All right. I'm struggling over here. And we still got a long day today, but no, it's, I'm good.
Doctor, just get Andrew Hammond some taurine stat.
Just
right in there.
There you go. Well, let's start. We got to get this out of the way. Bob is, the group chat has been waiting for the Bob review, the movie, the cinematic minute.
Are we starting? Are we starting with our Siskel and Ebert moment?
We have to do it.
Fine, let's do this.
But we need to start with this because I think it's topical. And I don't even know how we get to the other conversations before unleashing this take.
You know you have the best transitions in the business. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me say that because movies now often premiere on streaming platforms and pay-per-view services before going to the theaters or while they're going to the theaters. And there isn't this very set system that we used to have in which a big movie would appear in a theater. Then you wait, I don't know, 3 months, 4 months till it comes out on DVD or you can rent it.
I miss Blockbuster.
Mm. Yeah, sure. Blockbuster. Or even the old Netflix in which they would send you a DVD in the mail. But there was a clear system where, okay, here's a Blockbuster movie. I don't want to pay $10 to go see it in a movie theater. But I'm interested. I'm curious. My movie fandom is piqued by this. I want to watch it. So I will spend $4 to rent it at Blockbuster or $2.95 to get a DVD from Netflix. That's gone. And movies simply appear on one of the many streaming platforms that I overpay for. And I go, oh, right, that. I guess I should watch it. I'll watch that. It's late at night. I'm falling asleep. I'll watch that as I go to bed. So, I finally, the Air movie, which was, again, as we have just learned from my somehow absorption of Nancy Pelosi's appear on a Sunday morning news show, I enjoyed the memes when they came out. I enjoyed the images of Ben Affleck wearing a tracksuit. I enjoyed Matt Damon in a fat suit. I got all that. And I said, okay.
Matt Damon waddling around is kind of hilarious.
It is very funny. Matt Damon trying to make himself look unattractive by wearing a fat suit.
It felt like it was more of a chubby suit than a fat suit.
Yeah, he wasn't Brendan Fraser in The Wailing It. He wasn't really, but Sonny Vaccaro wasn't morbidly obese or anything, but okay. Although he was a middle-aged bald man at the time that he signed Jordan, so, you know.
It
would take a lot of CGI and or industrial light and magic to get Matt Damon to look like Sonny Vaccaro. But, so here's the story of how Nike came up with the Air Jordan shoe. I think also, just before we even get into that, I think it is quite hilarious that we used to have biopics of people like, say, I don't know, Muhammad Ali or Ray Charles or Johnny Cash or whomever. And now we have biopics about products like a shoe or BlackBerry. That aside, that was the most cynical and idiotic movie I've ever seen. The entire movie was a series of, hey, Memba? Hey, Memba when we used to do aerobics? Hey, Memba the song Big Country by Big Country? Hey, do you Memba? Memba when Phil Knight used to wear sneakers to office? Hey, Memba? 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 Memba this? Memba that? And it just, it was like, the entire movie was dangling a set of keys in front of audiences members who can remember things that what happened in the 80s. All of which leading up to this wholly undeserved speech that Matt Damon gives, where suddenly he's Nostradamus and he can see into the future and be like, you will be risen to great heights. You will change the world. You will elevate the American spirit, and then that same American spirit will try to destroy you because fame is a mask that corrupts, and that is what Americans do. We re-elevate our heroes to the promised land and then drag them back down to it. And I'm like, even if I'm willing to suspend disbelief and bind the idea that no, Sonny Vaccaro never said that in his entire life. And that was not the speech that convinced Jordan to sign with Nike. I'm willing to let that go. I was like, screw you, you did not earn that speech. You did not, the movie did not build to a point where I am okay accepting the fact of that speech. There is a much more interesting movie to be made about Dolores Jordan and her relationship to her son. That would be a cool movie. And they tried to prestige the hell out of it by shoehorning in scenes where Regina King is capital A acting and she tries her level best.
You mean Viola Davis. Get your black actors right, Bob. Racist.
No, I did a racism. Anyway. Damn it! My whole rant anyway, is ruined by racism.
Anyway, keep going.
Yes,
keep
Viola going. Davis, not Regina King. Sorry, I knew that. Sorry. Are both Damon, but speaking of who isn't capital A acting, neither boy or Damon and Affleck phoning it in. All of their scenes are like, hey, remember Matt Damon and Ben Affleck in Good Will Hunting? Remember? I'm sorry. It was a poorly constructed, I was like, why should I care? There are no stakes in this movie. Why should I care whether the one stake, by the way, which is Michael Jordan working out a deal to get Michael Jordan's family working out a deal to get a percentage of Nike sales with his name on the shoe in perpetuity. That is an actual sea change in how sports marketing is done, how athletes are marketed, and the value of athletes. There are actual stakes and something interesting. They just sort of drop that in the last 10 minutes of the movie. But the actual point, which shoe brand will Michael Jordan sign with? Don't care. No one cares. The audience isn't made to care. It is the movie is an advertisement for Nike, and it is not even done well. Like, they should have brought back Whedon and Kennedy to just make an actual advertisement, because this wasn't it. I hated it so much. And that's even with noted character actor Matthew Mosier playing the shoe genius. Matthew Mosier, by the way, excellent actor. I knew him casually back in the New York Downtown Theater days. And I was contemplating...
As a close personal friend?
Not a close personal friend. I'd call him an acquaintance and a professional acquaintance. Thank you very much. but I contemplated digging up his email and being like, yo, what was it like making this movie? So I could get some inside dope on it. But I did not do that. But in any case, as the Gene Siskel who hates everything on this pod, I give it a huge thumbs down. I found it execrable, and I want it to be burned with fire. Andrew Hem.
Wow. Yeah. Here's where Bob and I get along.
Hey, remember Chris Tucker? Remember?
You remember that movie, The Post?
Yeah, that sucked too.
You remember that movie?
Never saw it.
The Monuments Men?
Never saw
it. I didn't see it, but it looked bad.
So here's where...
We missed a moment for, yeah, I remember, but continue.
Yeah, yeah. So basically...
Remember the Pentagon Papers?
That too. Yeah,
that's what... You know.
You can't... It's not a buddy movie, but it's definitely like a... Hey,
don't make me go Jeremy Strong. Dramaturgically, it does not make sense.
Here's where I'm going, Bob. Here's where I'm going.
Go. I'm sorry. I'm not
going to. Maintain low tones.
Quiet coyote, Bob. Quiet coyote.
Here's where I agree with Bob. He's absolutely right. And... like all the movies that I said that, you know, Monuments Men, The Post, The Pentagon Papers, Air, they all have the same, Babylon, which I have a take on Babylon, but we can save that for another show. Here's where great idea on paper, Great idea.
If you told me that AI wrote that movie, I would believe it.
But the problem is, it was like everybody in a really, really super famous group chat was like, damn, this is a great idea for a movie. We should do it. And you're just... I feel like the Last Dance... kind of it was basically a Michael Jordan commercial.
Right.
We can all recognize that.
Right. But it was a well executed Michael Jordan commercial.
You know, very well executed. The problem with Air, so this is where Bob and I disagree with. This is where Bob and I are on.
We differ.
Yeah.
We part ways.
If you came into this expecting some intricate story, detailed story. Yeah.
I was expecting the thing that sent me over the edge was Matt Damon in some interview being like, well, we didn't want this to be, you know, we felt this was a real story about Black empowerment. And we didn't want this to be the story of a bunch of white guys profiting off this shoe. And I was like, but it was that.
It was.
And I'm like,
glad I didn't hear that because I would have
pat yourself on the back for, again, shoehorning in the actual interesting story in the last. Sorry, spoiler alert for people who haven't seen Air. The only interesting part happens in a phone call and then is quickly resolved by Ben Affleck meditating on a couch.
Here's where all those movies that I talked about before, I wouldn't say unintentional. It is unabashed Oscar porn. It is, sure. If you put that movie in November, October or November, there's going to be an Oscar machine behind it. But the problem is, it's just, if you had told me that they're going to do a story about it, I'm interested. I'm interested in... because I think there's an interesting story with Dolores Jordan and Michael.
Yes.
But there's also an interesting story with the creation of Nike, i.e. Shoe Dog, which arguably might be one of the best sports adjacent and business books in the last 50 years. The problem is...
It's not about that book.
You know what I'm saying? But you tried to mesh both of those in this story as you're talking about Michael Jordan... and it's just like, great, awesome. But they don't stick the landing. Mm. And the problem is even the start was bad. The middle was fascinating because you kind of get in that sports business sense, but to me you don't stick the landing, and we knew it was going to be basically a Nike commercial, an Air Jordan commercial. We knew that going into it, but it was just like, fine. Like it's fine on an initial watch, but the rewatchability of it, no. And the speech is also, can we just give credit to Jason Bateman, who might be my favorite character? Him and Chris Messina are my favorite characters in the movie.
That's not what David Falk is like. If this is a true story ripped from the headlines, that's not what David Falk was like. And Sonny Vaccaro, he is not an angel dropped straight from heaven.
No, he's not. He knows where the bodies are buried. Wanna why?
There it is. There's interesting stuff there.
He buried some of them.
Right. Like Sonny Vaccaro as a morally compromised figure in all kinds of ways. I was like, okay, that's cool. That's interesting. But no, here is humble, hangdog, frumpy Matt Damon who has the foresight to see that Michael Jordan was going to be the greatest basketball player of all time. By the way, in reality, the Bulls were offered the pick that became Barkley and Julius Erving for Michael Jordan after the draft, or before the draft, rather. So a couple of other people had a pretty good idea how good Jordan was going to be too. It wasn't just Sonny Vaccaro being like, I alone can see.
Scottie Pippen didn't see it coming.
Well, Scottie Pippen is really bad online these days, and he's mad at everybody. That's
well, to be fair, if your wife was basically just like, never mind, not going to go there. Nope.
Yeah, let's not. Nope.
I'm going to drink a Red Bull.
We're not going to drink a Red Bull.
For some reason, something that rhymes with the word puck comes to mind.
Wow. And by the way, for those of you listening and not watching, Andrew's in fact doing the Kermit drinking tea meme right now.
Find the lie.
Yeah, okay. In any case, I was like, Sonny Vaccaro as a morally compromised and complex person. There's an interesting movie also, but they didn't do that.
Well, it also requires Sonny not to be involved in the project, probably. It involves...
Probably, yeah.
Because he's not going down that road.
Sure, not. But, they even need to throw in, like, oh, yeah, he also testified in the Ed O'Bannon case that eventually led to the college players being game.
I thought that part was hilarious. I'm just like, okay.
Wow. You haven't polished this turd enough. You need to throw that in at the end too.
It's kind of like, okay, cool.
Attempting to say that Sonny Vaccaro was a, like, you're painting him like he's the great emancipator. And I'm like, nope. I mean, yes, biopics of all sorts take liberties with the truth, but this was a bridge too far.
But here's the thing: was he very pro college kids deserve a cut?
Yeah, absolutely. He was.
But let's not act like he is Father Flanagan or frumpy Father Flanagan.
Right.
Like I said, he knows where some of the bodies are buried.
That's what it means by the reason I'm like, shovel. That's what I mean, like, this is so cynical. I was like, yeah, okay. The Last Dance is a good comparison because, sure, everyone loves Michael Jordan, but there is an entire generation for whom he is a figure of the past and doesn't know him other than, oh, that's the guy whose name is on my shoe. And who didn't watch him play, and you know, maybe they watch YouTube highlights, but there are whole generations of fans for whom Michael Jordan is as far removed from the current game as Will Chamberlain is. And so if you're going to do a documentary about Jordan, that's cool. That's informative, especially because you've got all of these tapes that have never been seen before. So here's a peek about what this portion of Michael Jordan's life was like. Cool. Who are you trying to sell with this movie? What are you actually trying to sell me? Jordan shoes? Okay. Do you want to get into how Nike and the Jordan brand dominate the shoe market now? Do you want to know, like, that is a whole other kettle of fish, and it's not a pretty story, but they dominate the market. It's if the question is like, how did Nike get to this place? You didn't even begin to tell that story. So that's why I feel like it's a commercial for nothing. And
yeah,
that's why it felt, I felt icky after watching it. It just was an unpleasant experience all around. Like, if you're going to do that, then at least do it well. Anyway. Yeah.
Well, like, it's Oscar porn. Like, if you,
no one is giving this movie an Oscar.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. It's Oscar porn on because you're just like, guess what? We have all of these actors in this movie, and I'm just supposed to. It's kind of like Team USA circa 2000. I'm going to roll the ball out there. You give me the list of names, you give me a halfway decent, compelling story in the view of Oscar voters, because this is how they vote. But the problem is, you've seen it like the movies I listed before. Yeah, you see the result, and it's just like, oh.
But those are about real things.
I know that, Bob. I'm just saying,
like,
that
the post is about exposing the truths about the Vietnam War. That is a real thing that affects millions upon millions, or really billions of people on planet Earth. There is something that's important. Like, look, let's say in an alternate reality, Jordan does just go with Adidas. Okay? I really don't, like, Michael Jordan would be less wealthy now. That is the only thing that would have changed. Yeah. And fewer people would have bought Air Jordans over the years. Fewer people would have bought Nike shoes. Nike would have been a running company. Okay. Okay. Why would anyone care? There's no reason for anyone to care other than the greater glory and exaltation of
that
Nike.
That is Jordan.
And, well, Jordan, and by attachment, Jordan. But, like, yeah. I think we've plumbed the depths of this movie, or at least our feelings about it.
Well, that's good. It warmed us up, and professional here, I can professionally transition to...
You wanted something good in the A block.
Yes, I did want it. Yeah, there you go. B block time. Favorite NBA head coaching hire is which one for you, Andrew Hammond?
The one that should have been made.
Oh, I don't know where you're going with this.
I wanted Monty Williams in Boston so bad.
Oh.
Hmm.
Why?
Because Joe just isn't that guy.
Well, he doesn't have a staff anymore because, like, Ime just took the whole staff.
And that's
to Houston.
The problem. That's where I think the disconnect was when you decided to make Joe Mazzulla the full-time head coach, and you were basically doing all of this, you know, was it a month before the season, something like that? So, you know, Damon Stoudemire goes to Georgia Tech, which, cool. But to me, that was a sign of, okay, you know, you have assistant coaches that can reach these guys. And one guy that clearly was instrumental for them on the bench was Damon Stoudemire. Now he leaves. And you see what, 2 days after Boston gets eliminated, you see the entire staff, what, they're going to Houston. So I think some are going other places, but, like,
doesn't Brad Stevens need to sit down with Joe Mazzulla and pick his own staff with more experienced people that are not Ime's assistants? Isn't that a good thing?
It rumored forever that it was Steven Silas was going to be the lead assistant?
Steven Silas was going to head there. I mean, look, to me, I get why you have to make him the full-time head coach, because you can't have him hanging in interim the entire, you know.
No, you really need to poop or get off the pot with Joe.
Yeah, and they're deciding to stay, which is, I'm like, okay, cool. But I will say this, the best hire is Detroit
throwing the bag at Monty?
It's either that or what else were you going to do?
I'm never going to criticize any coach or athlete or even dude in a half zip fleece for getting that bag, but that seemed like a lot.
It's a lot, and they're trying to – clearly, they want to invest long-term in what they're trying to do. That shows it's a guy who – and look, Dwayne Casey is
– Dwayne Casey's fine. Coach,
but he's a bit too old school for this roster.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good hire. It just
– Oh, yeah. No. The money that they're throwing, I'm like – wait, y'all had that much money? That was my reaction.
Well, I compared it to the Mel Tucker hire at Michigan State, where Michigan State was in a bind. Mark D'Antonio left at a really inopportune time, and they kind of had to scramble. And Mel Tucker had just gotten at Colorado, and he kept saying no because he knew the situation he was walking into. And it's like, all right, it's going to be really hard to catch Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, stuff like that. And they just kept offering more and more money. And then suddenly Mel Tucker is one of the highest paid college football coaches. And Mel Tucker's fine.
We can thank LSU for that.
Yeah. And there was leverage. And Monty Williams, I just imagine with the phone call with his agent, because he was probably looking around.
It's like one of those things where he said, I don't know about this gig. All right.
Yeah.
Slide over the Godfather offer.
And I think Detroit had to overpay because I think Monty knows that this roster stinks. And this is job number three for Monty, right? So this is probably his last head coaching job in the NBA. So you have to be really careful when you're the bounce around guy. And he's hitching his wagon to a team that has been pretty terrible and not been able to get out of the mud here for a decade. And it's Cade Cunningham. That's a building block. You have too many bigs. you don't have enough shooting.
Jaden Ivey's a building block.
Jaden Ivey's a building block.
We don't know yet. I don't think I've seen enough from Jaden Ivey.
As a Jaden Ivey doubter, I thought he did really well in the last two months of the season.
Well, let's go with that. He is. But like the East, still pretty – like I don't see the Pistons being a playoff team next year. Maybe best case scenario they're a play-in team, but I still don't even really see that.
I think you're giving the East a little too much credit.
I think the Pistons need to nail this pick. They really more than any other team in the top half of the lottery. They can't whiff on this.
And, does it change just what coaching contracts are looking at? Like, does Mike Budenholzer get priced out now because of what Monty got? Because every agent's going to be like, "Well, the Pistons gave Monty X," and
I think the teams can afford it, man. The teams can afford it.
They're going to buy it because they want it. Here's the thing with the East. I think we're still – if it wasn't for the injuries and the inconsistencies of a young Pistons team, they could have been right there for the play-in. They could have contended for the play-in.
They were a team that I was hyping, if you guys can remember back to October.
Yeah.
I ended up being wrong. But
I love Sadiq Bey. I appreciate them sending Sadiq our way. Starting long term for
I think the East, the bottom half of the East, more than the West, is so cyclical these days. So it could be a season or two, but just keep everybody healthy. And the big problem for the Pistons was you didn't get in the top three.
That really hurt them.
And so, like Bob said,
they're a team. We've all very much parsed the whole Brandon Miller thing on numerous episodes, but he would have looked good in Detroit.
He would have. I'm still on the fence about Brandon Miller because my problem with Brandon Miller is
by all accounts, he's going to. That's happening.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't understand it, but it's happening.
It's like he has the body for an NBA guy, but when I watched him play outside of 15 feet, don't like it.
For me, the most interesting hire, and this is because of reporting that came out after the fact, was Adrian Griffin to the Bucks.
Why?
Wichita guy.
Not because his son AJ is on the Hawks.
I was going to say
AJ, AJ Griffin, very, very exciting mid-round pick. Everyone loves AJ Griffin.
Well, mid-first, and I will say though, Quinn did bury him. He did not play at all down the stretch since Quinn took over. He was not a Quinn guy, so I'm a little nervous about that, but yeah, continue.
But Duke on Duke crime, by the way.
Because, again, we're relying on reporting, but apparently this was Giannis's call about who got the job. And one, the Bucks are in an interesting and perilous place. Brooke Lopez is an unrestricted free agent. They need to bring him back, obviously, at any and all cost. Drew Holiday has said that when his contract is over, he's done playing basketball, and that's two seasons from now. Chris Middleton came back and looked okay, but not capable of being the second best player on a contending team. I think we can all agree on that. And still missed a lot of time. Whether he has a bounce back year in him, I don't know, or if this is just who Chris Middleton is, we'll see. They really don't have anything on the roster in terms of what you would call a young and up and coming player. They spent five picks to get Drew, so they don't have a lot of options for internal improvement. If this doesn't work, it's going to put heat on Giannis in a way that he hasn't had before, because he anointed this head coach. He said, "This is my guy." And if it fails and the Bucks slip, I think there's, you know, we spend a lot of this time bashing our oligarchs and captains of industry, but I think the fact that Mark Lazary cashed out and sold his shares of the team to Browns owner Jimmy Haslam,
Tennessee legend Jimmy Haslam,
noted alleged crime doer Jimmy Haslam is who he sold his shares to. I think there is a reason where this period of Bucks excellence could come to an end in a way that isn't very pretty, and it will be interesting to say the least to see. We haven't had Giannis had to deal with a situation on an NBA team that was unpleasant.
Welcome to the club. Like
every NBA superstar goes through that. You do not get, even LeBron has periods where people are questioning, say, his basketball related, like the free agents he decides to bring in, the coaches he insists on minting, the trades that he says has to happen, the GM stuff that happened to him too. Even the greatest, you know, to leave alone to that, and not just even the best get that, not just Kevin Durant for his bad basketball choices. So now that Giannis has taken this step of saying, this is my guy, and by all accounts, Adrian Griffin has been a touted lead assistant for a while and a candidate for one of these head coaching gigs for a couple of seasons now, at least. There is no denying his credentials. This is not an intent to slight Adrian Griffin in any way. But he's tied to Giannis on a team that, if things go south with an aging roster, it's going to put a lot of heat on Giannis. And we've never seen him it's been all sunshine and roses for the entirety of Giannis's career. He has, you know, even in a situation where he made that very LinkedIn post speech after they got knocked out by the Heat. By the way, everyone praising that, you can go straight to hell. That speech sucked. I'm sorry. I love Giannis, but that speech sucked. I do not want to hear about the grind set lifestyle from Giannis Antetokounmpo, no matter how true it is. I am interested to see what his response is to that. I'm interested to see if maybe he decides to pull up stakes. By all accounts, he loves living in a smaller media market. He loves the people of Milwaukee. He's built a home there. There is no indication. By all accounts, he's going to Dirk Nowitzki it and stay there for the entirety of his career. But Dirk got heat too. Someone was talking about this the other day. After Dirk and the Mavs, the 67-win Mavs team got bounced by the We Believe Warriors in 2007. Also, by the way, when you have a chance, go to Basketball Reference and take a look at the players on that roster. how they got to 67 wins is beyond me. Even with a Pythagorean one loss record of like 61 and 21, that was not a 60. That was not a nearly 70 win team. But after that was over, Dirk did the Aaron Rodgers thing and went to the mountains to go think about, to think deep thoughts. He went down and deep into himself, et cetera, et cetera. He did all of that athlete retreat, spiritual awareness raising stuff. And I think he was there and like, he was with his guru and they I forget where exactly, but they never talked basketball. It was that kind of a thing. It was like, we're going to look deep into the hearts of men kind of moment. And I think we're heading there. Giannis is going to go to that place. Now, what Giannis chooses as his yurt of choice will is to be determined. But that's, to me, why the Adrian Griffin hire is the most interesting.
Well, I also think
about what it portends a year or so from now.
I also think they're at a pivotal moment in their franchise in general, where some of it's Adrian Griffin, some of it's Giannis, some of it's just that like Drew Holiday was awesome last year, but Chris Middleton obviously contributed heavily into a title. He's going to be revered there forever. But he's never healthy anymore. And Giannis, you're seeing that. Like, you got bounced in the first round. Like, that was still pretty unacceptable based on where this team was all year long with the talent they have and the window that they have. That you can't run it back with that being your core three this year. I think you have to shake things up a bit. And I don't know what Chris Middleton's trade value is. I love Drew Holiday. I would fight like hell to keep him. But, like, they have to do something because, like you said, the clock is now starting to feel like it's ticking for Giannis and Milwaukee and what he decides to do over the next year or two. And it's like the dude is just top three competitor in this league. The man loves to win.
I think he does have another, as they say, level in him. I think he's got another gear he can hit. And it might be with a roster that isn't as good as the one he's had the last 2-3 years when they were legit contenders, when they were.
Really. I mean, they could fall off. We've seen this in teams.
They could. Mm. They absolutely could.
Question. Does he go, in terms of Giannis's play, compared to the rest of the team? When you say he has another gear, does he give you 07 to 09 D Wade vibes?
Mm. Yeah, it could be that kind of thing. That where he averages, where he like average, like where that long awaited Giannis jumper finally comes around and you can't guard him at all. Mm. But it doesn't matter because teams just say, okay, we're gonna send everybody Giannis and that'll be enough, and he's on a 42 win team. Yeah, we could see a couple of those.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And the only reason I say that is because when is his contract up? What? Or when can he...
2025. Knicks fans haven't marked it on their calendar or anything.
I thought Knicks fans were more focused on Joel Embiid after this year.
We are a complex people. We can... Mm-hmm.
We need the Knicks podcast. Can Embiid and Giannis play together in 2025 in New York?
Sure. How does that work? We'll make it work. We'll deal with the spacing issues later.
Can we just get, like... I need Knicks fans to go full... late 2000s, early 2000s.
You mean when we were talking about LeBron starting in 2008?
Not just that. I need you guys to go full Photoshop a jersey on just any halfway decent player.
Like I can go on Twitter and find that image right now. I can find it. 2 seconds. Oh, I can get you that photo.
I just remember.
10 seconds.
Yeah. It's just
Knicks fans have been photoshopping jerseys since photoshopping technology became readily available.
Bless their hearts.
Yeah.
Mm.
What? Okay. Here's the funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
What if, and just follow along with me here. What if, say, 2025, 2026, hell, maybe even 2027. There is a New York Knicks jersey with the name James on the back of it. Which one do you want? Which one do you want, Bob?
Versus say Giannis or Embiid?
It's not even which one do you want, Bob?
I don't want
Bronny or Bryce. Let's get it going. Let's sow the seeds.
This is, well, clearly the plan is to get all three together, but make a new big three. I just, point of parliamentary procedure here, which is the question? Is it the Bronny and LeBron team up, or am I pining for Giannis? Is that what you're asking me?
No, I was just asking, so in 2025, 2026, 2027, you have an opportunity to get Bryce or Bronny in a Knicks uniform.
Oh!
Which one do you want?
I want Bronny. I think Bryce has sort of made it clear that he's not, might not want to play basketball.
Well, I don't know.
You think he looks good?
He's more built like LeBron, right? Like he's the one who got the LeBron gene more. Yeah.
Okay.
Bronny didn't get the LeBron size gene. Like he's not going to be nearly like he's got a lot of Cole Anthony look to him.
Funny thing is, there's like a Venus Serena. There's like a Venus Serena type thing with Bronny and Bryce, where it's like Bronny's.
I have not been perusing like scouting reports.
It's fine, but like Bronny to me, Bronny's actually a halfway decent. Like he could, he's gonna make.
How old is he? He's 15.
No, Bronny's 18, right?
No, Bryce.
Bryce is
15.
15. He's 16. Not that far behind him. He's like two or 3 years behind.
But like, there is definitely a. Ronnie's going to be a halfway decent
star. I am sick of sports nepo babies. I mean, I get why it happens. It was inevitable. But I'm tired of being made to feel old because, oh, look, Nate Robinson's son just committed to Colorado.
I saw that yesterday, and I was like, my back suddenly hurts.
I know. I became the Matt Damon in meme, and suddenly I was like, I remember Nate Robinson winning the dunk contest for Dallas Boys.
Also, can we just talk about real quick?
I mean, look, you know who's a hyped prospect? Not Milt Wagner's kid, DeJuan Wagner, but DeJuan Wagner's kid.
Yeah, DeJuan Wagner's kid might be one of the best freshmen.
I know, he might be the truth. I am old enough to remember when, oh, wow. Yeah, DeJuan Wagner. He's going to be, who was drafted the year before LeBron. I was like, yeah, I remember Milt Wagner. I'm dealing with grandson, nepo grandkids. Sorry.
I'm so sorry, Bob. God.
Sick of the nepo babies. Don't like it.
Nepo grandkids. My wife's favorite thing is like pointing out nepo baby. Like when we're watching anything, like she has the real estate on that. She knows. Like she'll be like, nepo baby. Like that's just like she's on it. Like, you would never guess. And I'm like, really? She's another nepo baby? Okay. It turns out Hollywood has a lot of nepo babies in big time roles. Who would have thought?
That's been the case for a long time. Yeah. It's just, you know, yeah.
People here we go. 30 seconds on this. 30 seconds on this, and we'll wrap up here with our picks of the week.
All right. Let's do our picks of the week.
Well, hold on. I was going to give you one quick question.
Sure.
Bob, does Tom Brady play for the Raiders this year?
No.
Okay. What would you put the odds on that? Or the percentage? How strong of a percent would you say he does not play for the Raiders?
It's 95%.
Oh. Interesting. Doing pretty good.
I was going to go 80%, mostly because Mark Davis doesn't have the persuasion aspect. Al circa 1985 running the Raiders.
I think it's just that, you know, maybe they'll offer him a piece of ownership and a chance to screw over poor Jimmy Garoppolo one last time. That would be funny. But I think he's done. I feel like he's done.
I don't know, man.
I feel like
The longer he isn't going into the broadcast booth at Fox, which
I don't think he's going to be awful. He's going to be awful. He's going to be bad at it. The man has the personality of an uneaten strawberry. I'm sorry.
Bob, I got a buddy. I got a question.
Shoot,
is that the New York Jets fan I have been tortured by this man for 20 plus years and I hate his guts? Or is that you just going, yeah, I'm not a fan. I think he's gonna suck at this.
It's the number two. I'm taking door number two. This is not okay. A Jets resident. I'm not Fireman Ed here. I'm able to separate.
I love how you like get borderline offended by that.
Yeah, I am. Come on. The Jets are getting.
He's not gonna. I feel like
The Jets get rinsed and scrubbed by Jay Fiedler. We don't need to reach for the heavens in order to find enemies. Come on.
That's pretty good. Yeah, no, I think Tom Brady, the longer he is quiet about this, the more it's just, dude, just freaking do it.
I think he's going to play because I think Jimmy Garoppolo, the foot's not like he's waiting to get the confirmation.
Chase is feeling his oats because he came so close to pulling off the Celts are still going to win when they were down 3-0. That's why. He is like, the brass ring. It was right there.
Also, I do enjoy the fact that he said, oh, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And I was in a conversation talking to a friend of mine who was listening to the pod, and we were talking about the Celtics. And he was like, so what do you think is going to happen? I said, one of two things is going to happen. The Celtics are either going to completely blow out the Miami Heat because Miami's just like after game six, they're just going to completely blow them out, or they're going to do what I've been seeing from this team 75% of the season. They are going to have a quarter or two where they just forget to play the game of basketball. And what happened? Door number two.
Yeah, but once Tatum got hurt, it was –
Well, that's the thing. That's my caveat. Tatum doesn't get hurt. The prophecy comes true. God, us would disagree?
It would have been a closer game if Tatum were healthy. But
I don't know. I think many are saying that my take was pretty solid. Many are saying it's fine.
Yeah, it was wrong, but okay.
Hey, keep throwing them takes at the wall. Brady plays for the Raiders this year and starts game one. Bobby Silverman, what's your pick of the week? You already did your pick of the week. Do you have another one?
Yeah,
it was really your not pick of the week.
My hate pick. Don't watch this movie. I'm going to say again. I'm going to make a very basic and predictable one. Righteous Gemstones returning on.
Oh, I cannot wait. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a Steve Zahn sighting. And for all you Zahn heads out there, Steve Zahn as a militia leader. Yes.
Religious militia leader.
Yes,
that's the best
and part. The foul Steve Zahn running a militia.
Shout out to Marv Albert. I cannot wait. Like,
I've been on a rewatch of it. Yes. Righteous Gemstone.
Just rewatch the first episode. Like him running over that dude and tears in my eyes, laughing so hard.
Tony Caballero has not gotten enough shine for his role as Keith. He is tremendous. And unfortunately, he did not have a lot to do aside from being locked in a cage in season two.
To be fair, there were a lot of things where basically it was just like, man.
We don't know what to do with Keith. Okay, do we have a bespoke hut on the compound? Well, yeah, put him in there.
My favorite part about it was when the God Squad or AK when John Goodman said, "You muscular boys," he was saying that, and I was just like, "I'm just waiting for the God Squad to completely torture Keith." And guess what? I was not disappointed.
I think we also get. I don't know if it's her. I haven't checked IMDb, but I think Kristen Johnston makes it.
Yeah, I think that's who.
I think that's her. She shows up for a second. Yeah. In the preview.
Apparently, they have like a pretty good roster of.
Is that Shea Whigham? Is Shea Whigham in this also? I felt like I saw Shea Whigham.
Yeah,
I'm a healthy fan.
But you know what?
There are some quality character actors flexing their comedic chops in this. And again, Steve Zahn. Delightful.
There you go.
Always.
Andrew, your pick of the week.
Squeeze Play ESPN Plus. Mm. Friends, if you just want to keep a sport on the entire day,
which you can do. That's allowed.
Mm. Would it watch Squeeze Play on ESPN Plus because it showcases the insanity. One, the insanity of college baseball. Two, there is sports drama that's involved with this that is just, you don't have any stakes, but at the same time, you're just sitting there going, oh God, what is going to happen? And then there's like a sensory overload feeling that you're teased with at points when there's six games going on all at the same time and you're watching all of this. So one reason I have the Red Bull is it's, but it's very well produced, because I think you can watch a sport, you can watch a sporting event, you can do whatever, but if it's not produced well, if it's not put together well, it takes away from the actual moments that happen. And Squeeze Play does a great job. I think they're doing it this week and next week. So keep an eye on it. It's good stuff. Yeah, that's my pick.
One second. I'm talking to Jamie in the control room here. And I have been informed that, yes, Kristen Johnson and Shea Whigham are both in Righteous Gemstones Season 3. So
there you go.
Thank you, Jamie, for that. So
two picks, quick. Red to Roost. Shout out to old friend over there at Knickerblogger, Jim Cabin, and the great organization there. Love this shirt and love the owl and everything that that organization is. So check them out, Red Roost, Sanctuary for Cancer Families. It's great. Also, you hurt my feelings. Saw that last week with Julia Louis-Dreyfus last week with my wife, and it's just top-notch. Like, I would watch anything. Say it again.
So what's it about?
It's a very, very simple, and I don't mean that in a negative way, premise, where Julia Louis-Dreyfus is a writer and professor at the New School, and her husband is a marriage counselor and or marriage therapist and
couples therapist.
Couples therapist, yeah.
Yes.
And she catches him not enjoying her manuscripts, multiple drafts, reading through her drafts of her latest book, and is just completely destroyed by how he actually feels about the book. And then the whole premise is like, hey, are people really, when they say I like it, or they're your spouse, the person that you trust the most, isn't actually giving you genuine feedback about something so personal? How does that affect? How do you come back from that? It's unbelievable.
A serious take from Chase Thomas.
Yeah. Where can I find that?
It's in the movie theaters. Like, I'm a Regal Unlimited guy.
I didn't know it was streaming or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just came out a few weeks ago, but I would highly recommend it. It is fabulous writing. The guy from Succession's in it as the brother-in-law, and he's top-notch as an actor in the movie.
Rich guy?
Yeah.
No, it's the dude who...
Matthew McFadden?
No, it's the... Why am I blanking on his name? The one who's right there with Jeremy Strong all early on with the...
Tyrion Colton?
What is his name?
Is it one of the brothers?
He's not one of the brothers. He's
can I have just
Arian Moyad?
Stewie.
Yes, Stewie. Yeah. That was it. Okay. It never sounds like Stewie. It never sounds right when I'm like looking at
Stewie Hassani, the one character to come out of this Succession with a happy ending.
Can I have a quick Succession take?
Yeah, go for it.
I love the ending, and the ending was hilarious.
Yes.
It was basically, you're going to bend the effing knee.
Yes.
And that's all. They sucked the landing.
They did. They absolutely did.
Let's not delve into Succession talk full bore, because I got too many takes about that.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's just say, I thought Kendall was going to, like, he's basically teased Harry Carey for an entire series.
Did you see the interview? He said he wanted to go in the water. The actor, Jeremy Strong, wanted to go in the water. And it looked for a second in one take like he was going to do it. Yes, that was good acting. It's better that they didn't have him do that. But the guy who played Colin, his butler manservant, evidently had to be like, no, you're not doing that now. But excellent, perfect, great.
Oh, also perfect. The look that Kendall had at the end was basically me watching the last quarter and a half of the Celtics.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, they did super. Well, there were a few photoshops.
Oh, when I saw him, I was like, I can't even be mad, because that was the look on my face.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, Bobby Silverman, Andrew Hammond, thank you as always, my friend. And friends, thank you as always, my friends. And I will talk to y'all next week.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.